Father, we thank you so much for this precious book. We open again tonight and realize our inability to understand it without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the down payment the day we got saved. And down through the years, he's been struggling with us in every way possible through your precious word that he inspired men to write. That we'd have a copy of it, that we in turn would look to you and ask for advice about what we should be doing until you called us home. And now tonight, I pray you bless us together as we open this book again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What I want to do tonight is something that, like I said, I don't think I've ever done this before. I've been saved some 57, going on 58 years now. I'm glad that I never had a pastor to go back to because God led me out of organization to start an independent Baptist church. So I've had to struggle through some things in life, but God taught me some things in the business world to do about keeping notes. And I found out something now, more so than ever before. Note keeping can be a tremendous thing for nuggets to help you know what you've learned. And God wants us to learn things about him, folks, and how he works with us in life. And I found out many years, and Barbara knows this, that I have the pencils everywhere and I have pads everywhere at the house. If I think of something in turn, it might not be mine, I might hear it, I'll try to write it down. If I'm studying, think of something sometimes that is different and say, man, I never thought of this before. If it's a thought like that, I try to write it down. Now, there's been a lot of those over the years. That's the reason I keep every message I ever preach. I've got them from when we started back in just a little bit pads until now to the notebook sizes through the years. And go back and check a lot of things and what I taught and preached on through the years. And amazing to do so helps me to see how I've grown. Since, like I said, I've told my wife many times, I wish I had a pastor I could go to. Because there have been some times I needed someone like that. But because the way the Lord left us, let us out from the organization, we had to go to him. And therefore, we've been a lot of times in prayer. So I believe he taught me some things. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, I picked some things out over the years that I just call them like spiritual nuggets. There's a lot in this book to learn. There's no way possible I can, to my mind, and get it all. If you can, God bless you. Let me set under you. This is inspired. It's infallible. But there are some things that God teaches I don't want to forget. And I find out if I can come with just a little slogan or a little phrase or something that God taught me and put it down, just write it down, that I can remember that and years go back as I look over those things and find out what I saw and thought, and it helps me learn some things to add to my knowledge and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so let me give you some things tonight that I've found out as I've studied the Word of God. Now, in Proverbs, if you look at me in chapter 4 and read a few verses of Scripture, then we'll go from there and you'll see what I'm talking about. Here's what Solomon said in verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I'm glad that I fell in love with the book of Proverbs and Solomon's writing many years ago. Many times, there's groups of religious people get verses like this and explain many things away as being overriding even God himself. But God is talking about his wisdom here, ladies and gentlemen, not ours. And if we understand the thing about wisdom and what about knowledge, the Bible teaches us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of wisdom is also the beginning of knowledge. So here, a fear of the Lord also is the beginning of wisdom. I'll get it right in a minute. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here he applies these two together and giving knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, how to apply that knowledge correctly. And I learned that many years ago, even before I was saved. I knew there were things about knowledge that I could learn, but I realized that man needs to have wisdom to apply that knowledge correctly. If not, knowledge will puff him up, and he won't be able to do anything much to use that for his benefit. Well, here God tells us about wisdom. He said, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, in this verse, he said, 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, I've heard a lot of people maybe have preached messages on this, but in my case, it helps me to see that those things that I may write down at the moment just to quick the mind writing down, maybe a phrase or a sentence, and leave it and come back to it later and start reading those things, it amazes how God can bring to my mind some things to add to that just because I put a simple statement down. I call that a spiritual nugget that God gave at that time to write down. And I write it down and go back and go over it. And I'll show you a few of those in just a few minutes. Look a little further. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with that getting, get understanding. Exalt her. And she, notice, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Isn't that amazing? God said, this wisdom he's talking about here mainly has to do with him and how we relate to things in this life. If I will learn to get that and exalt her, not to the place that wisdom itself exalted above God, but God is the author of all true wisdom and true knowledge. I look back in chapter 3 and look down about verse 13. He said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, what's this? The merchandise of wisdom and getting understanding is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. I believe God meant that when he said it. You know what? Money can buy a lot of things, but you can't take it to heaven. But finding God's wisdom about life can make the road for us to go to heaven. And what he's telling us here, that even that merchandise of wisdom is better than merchandise of silver and gain. You ask the world that. They don't see how, you know, if you're going to give me wisdom, Lord, give me wisdom to make a killing, you know, get rich or something like that. But he's talking about service of God. Notice he said, she, that is wisdom, is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand. And he said, in her left hand, riches and honor. So those things can come, but God wants us to realize that this wisdom and knowledge that he gives us in life is to do more for us than just to gain things here. He teaches us we're to be working towards a goal. In Ephesians 2 tells us those works that God has preordained that we should work in to please him. We have to do what he said had to do, and there'll be rewards on the other side. Now look down in verse 18, look in verse 9. She should give thee a head, an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sins, and the years of thy life shall be many. He said, your left life will be longevity if you obey and do what he says. If I taught thee in the ways of wisdom, I have led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Isn't it amazing? He said, if you use this correctly with God's help, you won't have to worry about coming wavering off and God has to straighten your steps again. And go over here and God has to straighten your steps again. He says, that won't happen if you keep have wisdom like it should be. And he said, I have led thee in the right path. He said, when thou goest, that the steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instructions. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, when I think of the instructions, I think about, I've studied, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. But I can't get everything when I study. I try. I wish I had a photographic mind. If I had, man alive, I don't know where I'd be at. But I'd know one thing, it'd be better than where I am now, as far as my mind is. I don't have that. But I find out these little thoughts put down can refer back to. They're like trigger mechanisms that put you back in what you learned or you studied at a particular time. Now look at verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness that know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them and help to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee forward mouth and a perverse lips. Put far from thee. And God will help you do that as you look at wisdom and knowledge and desire to give him your heart and life for those to work in. Let thy eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight forward. Straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. When I see that, I remember Psalms 119:105. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And then he says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If you see evil and you recognize that, get rid of it or remove yourself from it. We know, thank God, we can do that before the Lord by confession. Now, if I look also quickly, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. God Almighty says this in His Word in chapter 10 and down about verse 31. He said, "Wherefore, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own will I profit, but the profit of many that they might be saved." And then I see for the last verse to look at this moment in Colossians. You look with me over a couple few pages. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And Paul said here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." You're studying things you won't remember, but if you have something that really cuts your attention, copy it down. Write it down. Keep a log of that. Write it down. And you'd be surprised what that can do to you as you get older and go back and see those things that God showed you and then add to that. Notice he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." And then psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, singing with grace into your heart. Notice to the Lord. Sometimes you can get by yourself and just sing to God himself and not have to sing with a congregation. It's good to do that, I'll tell you. And then notice he said, "And whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now you heard me say many times, again, wherever you at, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. If you work for a person, do it as unto the Lord. It'll change everything about you. And no doubt that's what Joseph and others did in their day, which are the ones they worked for, recognized that they were something different about them and in turn promoted them in situations as far as life. Sometimes it took a while. And I'm working on a message now about Joseph. I am amazed about what he went through to get where he was at. It didn't happen overnight, but he never wavered with God. He never did. 20-something years, he ended up in nothing but chaos wherever he went. Look, if anybody in the world would throw the towel in, he would have. But he shows us something about what it is to stay with God. So I want to talk a few minutes again, some thoughts gained in life. These are going to be scattered, but I hope you'll get something who may God get you on a course to get in to think about some things in life that can help you go back to and see where you read many times something and had a thought, wrote it down, and that's the only thing you really remember at the time. But when I think about this wisdom and what God is saying, I found this out. What you know will help you with events. Knowledge will help you about events. Knowledge will help you do things better as far as a subject is concerned. Whatever you have, if you're an automobile mechanic, whatever you have that you have knowledge about helps you with that event. At least you can say amen to that. If you study something, you know more about somebody who has not studied it. But at the same time, what you are will help you prepare to meet God. Knowledge can give us events and help us understand who we are and who we should be, but who we are and what we are will help us prepare to meet God, because that's the only thing that matters, folks. I can learn everything that's in this world. I could be an Einstein, a high IQ, the biggest in the world, and die and go to hell. What good would that be? So we got this. We thank God to be able to learn, but at the same time, thank God that we understand what we are is going to help us to meet God. I find this out, and I mentioned this a little bit this morning, just one. That's kind of also knew I was in the right direction for the night. Faith in things from Christ will change. I find us praying much, and God encourages us to pray. He said, "Cast our cares upon Him." But I must never get to the point I pray for things and forget to pray that God help me be what I'm supposed to be, the image of Christ. Because God tells me about that. He's more concerned about me being growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and become an image in sense that He can manifest to this world who Jesus Christ is. Not that we are that much like Him, but we have words that God uses to exalt Jesus Christ, and if it comes from a vessel that looks like it's trying to be what it ought to be, then it's even a better vessel. So faith in things from Christ will change. But I want you to know this, faith in Christ changes us unto God's image, which is Christ's image. God is conforming us to the image of Christ. We see that in the Scriptures. Satan tries to get us to think that God has lost His integrity. I even said this morning, he got Adam and Eve to think that God lied. Don't you know that looking at God and how God was and then seeing Satan come on the scene and to get them to believe Satan rather than God, they had to decide which one was telling the truth. And they thought that Satan was telling the truth in the form of a snake of all things. And here we see that Satan tries to get us to think that God has lost his integrity, that God has lied, that he has many things in this book that's confusion. He's got a lot of folks who will back that up. But you've got the Holy Spirit greater than all the folks they have. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. And that Holy Spirit will bear witness to this book if we'll believe God when we go into it and look at it. Everything's not meant for me, but everything can help me to understand some things about life if I'll learn about it as much as I can in this life. And I have to remember that God's character, he wants us to remember that. This book gives us God's character. I may not understand everything about it, but I know God is revealing himself in this book. I'll never know anything about God outside of this book. I may know there's a great God, but I won't know who he is until he reveals himself in this book. So we must resemble the God's character, but at the same time, the glory of God is his character. And that's when he tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And that's the reason we just looked in Romans in chapter 8, verse 29. He says, through foreknowledge, God predestinates us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So in this, and God is telling us that Christ is the image of God the Father. And Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And he said, now the Holy Spirit lives in you. And what I'm doing, I'm transforming you. And I've said a number of times in the last few weeks, I'm transforming you so I can conform you into that image. Because that's my goal. My goal is here to bless you in things. You may have houses and lands and everything else in this world. But my goal is to get you there. And when you get there, be as near to the image of Christ that you can be in flesh for my glory. And then I'm going to give you a glorified body to complete the situation. You won't have no trouble about it at that time. And that's another thing about what we learn in this life. What God asked us in words to be, God is already that. God knows in a fallen condition we can never be what he is now in this life. So what he asks us to be in this life, the goals he gives us through that word is a moving towards the utopia that God would have us as a child of God so the world could see God in us until we get home on the other side. And the thing about it is this, what he asked us to become, he's already that. Isn't that amazing? You see, that's the difference. What God is doing is separating false gods for those who want to know the true God in the lives of his own children and getting them to learn the book, hiding the word of God in their heart, and walk with God the nearest they can with the abilities they have, and realize that they're a failure, there are things that God will use them till he gets us to a point. And who knows? I don't know, and I'm speculating. It might be sometimes that God says, I've got that child of mine to a point that I can't really take him any further, and I'm just to bring him on home to be with me. I can't prove it, and you can't disprove it. So we're kind of stalemate, aren't we? What I'm saying, folks, if we look from God's viewpoint, the only thing is he wants us with him. But he's going to do what needs to be done in our lives till we can get there. And while he's doing that, we're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and the world's going to see Christ reflected in us. It may be dim at times, but they're going to see it. And when I go through this, it always blesses me to go back. My best part in life is reflecting who God is in Jesus Christ. And of course, my final moments in life, as I live, and any day could be our final moments, I thought about that my completion, or some people call it a destination, will be when I reach in Christ the character of God. God is manifesting himself in us for us to see God. While Christ is on this earth, he saw God through Christ. He was manifesting. Now we are the children of God. We ought to be manifesting our Father. Amen? Amen? I mean, couldn't he? We reflect our Father. And so he gives us some wonderful things in here to look at. And these are kind of key golden nuggets that helps me think around what I should be as I study this book. Now, I know this. He said, do what you do, heart it into the glory of God. So that means everything I do, whatever. I may be doing something for Seth, but I'm going to be doing it for the glory of God. I may be working for you, but I don't do it for the glory of God. I may run an error for you, but I don't do it for the glory of God. Because to do so changed my whole outlook on life. That's the way God looks at it for us. And then we'll get us to that point one day on the other side. Now, so that means that there are some things that I've found in life that helps me in the problems of life. Because you're going to have problems. You're going to be full of problems. you know, if you got any time on you, you've had more problems, you've had good times probably. As a matter of fact, if you had more good times, you forgot about them because of the problem times. That's all there is to it. And so some things I found out. I found out this. I try to preach this book the best I can. I get a lot of criticism. I get some good things. But what happens when that comes? I found this out. And I do the same thing with Barbara and I counseling through the years now as we've done that. When we look at the Word of God and I proclaim it or counsel and give the Word of God, I am never responsible for the pain of someone who rejects my counseling or my preaching. If I've got to preach the book and God stand before God and don't preach right, then that's going to be my responsibility. But if I think myself that I've done what God had called me to do at that moment and prayerfully approached it and prayerfully gave advice and prayerfully did those things, then I can never be responsible. And boy, this helps me because I'd have stopped a long time ago if God didn't give some knowledge. God can never be held responsible for the pain of someone who rejects my counseling. John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, "The truth will set you free, and you shall be free indeed." By the way, He is the truth, and He sets us free. Now, I find this out in life. God molds me in certain ways. God molds me with pain. God molds me with problems. God molds me with people. The only difference is, it's not pain, problems, and people. It's people, problems, and pain. He'll use people to mold me by causing me problems, to cause me pain, so I can run to no one but to God. If I won't save, I'd run everywhere. So God knows my path and your path, if it's where it would be, when we have the problems that face, the people we face, it brings the problems we face, it brings the pain we face, that pain, the end results are going to get us to go to God because He's the only one can remove the pain. Amen. Now, the doctor can give you a shot, but that don't help you emotionally. It don't help you with the spiritual things in this life. I'm talking about what I've found. And so I have found out the fact is that God is molding me. And it don't mean that these things don't bother you and hurt you and cause you maybe sometimes to think wrongly when you're trying to think right. But it comes in that order. It will be pain, problems, and people. People, problems, and pain. And by the way, you're going to have your problems, and problems come from people. That's all there is to it. We all have them. By the way, God is having His problems sometime with His own children. So He's letting us know. That's when I love Romans 8:28, because I know everything's going to work out in the end. I can't see it in the greatest now. Pain is not, it's something that's not enjoyable at all. As a matter of fact, I think about when you're talking about pain itself, death for all believers is in the pain, but not for unbelievers. Isn't it amazing? Death ends pain for God's children, but not for unbelievers. And I want to thank God Almighty. I found this out, ladies and gentlemen, through my life, and I believe it's so true. I don't remember exactly where I got this at the time, but I wrote it down many, many years ago. I found this out. Thank God those who created yesterday's pain don't decide tomorrow's pleasure. God decides that. And there's something I can go to. I get something to touch me down. I cry with my wife. Glad she knows I come and just cry sometimes with situations and just I'm just burdened. But I've found this out. Anytime that I've faced this thing as far as pain is concerned, those who created my yesterday's pain is not in charge of not tomorrow's pleasure. So I look at this. I also realize, and I found out that Peter became more in a day walking with the Holy Spirit than he did 3.5 years walking in Christ. I made that statement a few weeks ago in a service, and I said, well, you know, I need to talk about that again. What do you mean? I mean that Peter learned more in one day with the Holy Spirit about what to be done as he lived in him than with Christ who lived outside of him, yet was with him 3.5 years. How do I know that? The Holy Spirit opened his understanding about Christ. But wait a minute. If you go back and you look in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 and 45, Jesus opened the understanding of the apostles from the Old Testament in those verses. And then you find that he tells us in John 14, 26 and John 16, 12 and 14, we said many times, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to come so he would teach us those things that he had taught and many other things about the Lord. And then Acts 1:8, he says again, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and when he comes, he's going to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all those parts of the earth. And then in Acts 2, 1 through down about verses in 2 through 4, the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. For what? to indwell the child of God, so we could know exactly what the inspired word would be when it's finished, and in turn have the voice of God for us. I found out that what you are will outlast what people think of you are. And the thing about this is this. You'd be surprised at the people. You know, what we are will outlast what people think. People think about us in ways. And by the way, I've had people that didn't care much for me through the years that I've been a preacher. A lot of those have already gone on. Some went to be the Lord. I don't know if others did. But I'm saying to you, hey, when it comes to this thinking, what we are will last longer than what people think. Eventually, God will manifest. And this is what I'm saying. I've learned these things, and you have to learn some of this in your life if you're going to be where you ought to be with God. I've learned that what I finish is more important than what I began. That's not mine. I read that many years ago. In my life and heart, I thought about, Lord, never let me quit what I started. Let me finish better than I started. Why shouldn't we finish better than we started? We're older than the Lord. We've been saved longer. God, we had ways that God had made trial and error with us and worked with us through life that our mind can be set in sections of things of heaven rather than things on this earth. And then I realized that I found out the cure for guilt is confession. 1 John 1:9. I love that verse. Because anytime Satan comes to try to throw guilt to us on something about Scripture, confession is the best thing for guilt. And that means true confession. I found out one thing. Satan tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, but he could not. And I'm going to be honest with you. It upsets me about abortion. But there's nothing, one thing I can do about it. By the way, there's nothing you can do about it. We can vote people in, but I don't do no good to do that. Who may be against it. But I know this. Abortion is one of Satan's strategy to prevent, notice what I'm fixing to say, to prevent the birth of a champion for God into a generation. You think about the number of abortions that have been taken. Some of those could have been giants for God. Some of those have got saved. Because why? The gospel is still available today. Somebody would have reached. God would have reached somebody. You say, why did he let them be aborted? He lets evil run its course, but they'll have to pay for it. The consequences, folks. There are consequences there. And that's going to be terrible when those stand before. The only thing that can remove the consequences and change it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God. They can still be saved, those who do that. But abortion is, that, like I said, it's Satan's strategy. If he can get a child aborted, he don't ever know what a child's going to. He can't see the future. But he knows he's seen many giants of God become because they were born. And if he can stop someone from doing what he tries to stop us not to get saved, then he tries to stop us not to get other people saved, and then he tries to mess up our lives so that we can't manifest Christ. He's working all the time. But if he can get one at the womb before it's born, he just may stop a giant for God. By the way, though, God can still keep raising them up. And he will until the day Jesus calls us home. Also, I understand, I found out my life, in this life, the things that God has for me here, kind of like some people call it assignments, it's all right with me. It is the problem that God created for me to solve with his help. I don't know, but there is life. There's something that God had created you for to solve, but you'll need his help. And you have to use his help for that to happen in our lives at this time. I also found out the evidence of God's presence. And this is what blesses me. When I this world today, you got people deny God and there's no evidence and all of this couldn't have happened. And, you know, God's not the author of these things. And this really helps me. The evidence of God's presence far outweighs, ladies and gentlemen, the proof of his absence. Without this book, what I see about has been made far outweighs. His absent helps me see his present. And then I have this book to line up why that happened. Boy, it just explodes in your heart to know that the God of this book is the God that we're to be serving and using. I've also found this out. What a blessing. Jesus Christ, we have everything when we trust him as Savior. We're complete in him, Paul told the church at Colossians. Jesus, a person, though, creates my peace. I have peace with God. If you're saved, you have peace with God because it's Jesus Christ that established that peace for us when we trust him as Savior. We have the peace with God so God can give us the peace of God as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Peace of God comes in growth. Peace with God comes in birth. And I have to understand those terms. So I find this out as a person. Jesus as a person creates my peace. But then on the other hand, I have to realize that his instructions, his principles, the things of life he gives me creates my prosperity. And my prosperity is not just monetary. Prosperity can measure, you cannot measure prosperity in wealth only. So what happens, he gives him my peace, that I'd have the peace of God because I have peace with God. He gives me instructions by the Holy Spirit also to tell me the principles of God so I can be prosperous in the things of God. Listen, I'll tell you something. This is not much as what Dr. Robertson and some other people have done in places through the years. But I want to tell you, this is a miracle here, folks. This church is a miracle. You didn't come in here wanting your own way to have something like this. And I just thank God. I thank God for it. And I don't know how much longer, but I pray to God he'll protect the folks here in the future until Jesus comes. Amen. I pray. I'm telling you, we've helped churches out in places, and I'm not going to get into it now, that have completely left the track of the biblical contents. And the thing about it is, it can happen so easy. It happens so gradually. It happens so fast that we have to be very, very careful. I found this out, that choices, and this is not mine, but I read this back a number of years ago, and I said, man, that fits exactly what it is to be a Christian. Choices, and this statement was made, choices like a divine paintbrush that God gives every man to design his own world in Christ or outside of Christ. It's our lives is like a movie that's taking place in life. Only God can see the film part of that. And what happens, things that happens in our life either paints that which has to do with Christ or outside of Jesus Christ. I found this out, and Kent, you found this out, I'm sure. What you are is revealed by what you do, not what you say. And listen to me, what you do reveals what you believe and not what you say you believe. And I wrote that down. And that's all been a thing. Hey, I can't just talk about this thing. There's got to be more behind it than that. I've got to be sure that I'm convinced about that. But what I am is revealed by what I do, not just what I say. And again, I say to you, I wrote down, what I do reveals what I believe, not just what I say I believe. They're nuggets that really blesses us in life. I found out this. If you don't believe this, write it down. You want to put, by the way, do you get some time to have some pad? Just when you have a thought, prayer, sometimes I just stop and say, Lord, I want my mind just to be complete of everything. Take everything out you can think out. Let me have no thought but pure thoughts about you. But I get enough thoughts in this world just traveling around. I found out also how you understand God will determine your message to men. How I understand God in this book will determine what I do for Him in this world. If I don't have it and don't understand it, I'll be more selfish than ever. And God has us a way of letting us see these great things. And this is something I found years ago, and basically it don't have to do about Scripture, but I read this article and I wrote down, you don't drown by falling in the water. You drown by staying in it. So that's the same way with anything else. Troubles don't overcome you, but just having them. It's staying in them, not finding out. Don't you remember what Jesus said he made a way for the escape? There's nothing taking us that he hadn't made a way for us to escape. What a joy to know that in this life. I find out many times God blesses me by bringing new people into my life. Did you find that out? Not me, preacher. Let me give you an example. Where do you work at? You didn't know those people. A lot of them. But he brought them into your life. You got a job, right? When you go to the hospital, do you know all those people in that hospital? But they're there for a purpose. Why? To help you if you have a need. There's people that works on us. We don't even know anything about them, but we accept the fact they're there. What I'm saying to you, God brings people in our life that when we have a need, he does that. Take counseling, for instance. There's people who counsel at times, and they end up not even know who the counselor is. If people go to counsel, they don't know who they are at all, but they listen and try to take advice from them. I'm saying to you, God has somebody he puts in our path. If you've lost a loved one, I guarantee you there'll be a time God will use you to help someone else who loses a loved one, or someone will come along to help you when you lose yours. Sometimes it's somebody you've never known before. Sometimes it's just a conversation that comes up and you start talking and suddenly you blend together with the same idea of things that's happened and your heart goes together and you understand each other. You may weep with each other, but at least you rejoice also because he brings new people into our lives to help us in life, bring blessing to us. I know this, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, I found out your reaction to your parents determined God's reaction to you. I also know this, that pain is not my enemy. It's a proof I got one. Boy, that was a good thought years ago. Have you ever been hurting? I'll tell you one thing. You won't do much for God without hurting, I'll tell you that. But pain is not my enemy. I've found out, and praise God, it's proof that I have one. Who is my enemy? Satan. What's the last enemy I got to conquer? Death, unless the rapture takes place. I have Bible for that. And therefore, it gives me understanding a little bit. I know this also. I put this down many years ago. When wrong people leave, right things happen. When right people leave, wrong things happen. They reverse. So you're going to have some people that are right in your life sometime, good things will happen. Then you're going to have some things that are wrong in your life sometime, and you're going to find good things can't happen when that happens. And when you have right, sometimes you have wrong. You're fine. Listen, where you work at, we're rubbing elbows every day. Let's be honest with God in life. We're faced with things in this life that you and I just don't know how to handle. And we say, bless God, I can handle it. Just wait. God will put you in a situation where you can't handle it. He's going to let us know, we ought to know as children of God, that He's our God and we're His children, and He's got more sense and things than we have. And we have to go His route or not, it doesn't work. Then I see also that Satan didn't realize that when Jesus Christ was crucified, Satan's greatest failure was Christ's crucifixion. He thought he was restoring Christ, and yet he caused something to happen that God had in mind to use that which Satan thought would destroy Christ, and what would be happened for him, he turned it around that he died for us to have eternal life. Then I think about, I found this out, and people don't like it in our day, talking about giving. Tithe is not the payment of a debt. You can't bargain with God anything. You can't bargain with God. I can't bargain with God. Tithe is not a payment of a debt. It's a knowledge of the debt that I can never pay. I can never pay it, what God has done for me. And I thought about when this thing of tithing. So many times through the years, it ain't been the fact I just did it because someone said do it. I went to the scriptures and began to ask God about this thing and so forth. And I prayed about it. And God, it amazes me that God gave us 90% of our income, but He said the tithe was His. He told us that in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 31. He said, hey, listen, we owe God everything. Amen. But God said, listen, I'm going to set a deal with you. I want 10% of my blessing you to handle my affairs in life. The other 90 cents is yours. Now, the tithe is the Lord. That's true, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 and 31. But anything else of the 90% given is a free will offering that God blesses when someone gives that to. A statement, when a person said, I don't believe in tithing, the first thing, a statement to not tithe is to not document their indebtedness to God. We're indebted to Him, folks. We're in debt we can never pay. On the other hand, I also find out to obey God in tithing documents that debt. You know, I was recently, a few weeks ago, and I came back out to this thought again, was a few weeks ago, you see on the news already been running this ad on the IRS, if you owe the IRS more than $10,000, call them and they can get it less. If you owe him $50,000, you might get it paid. One person said, I owed him $50,000 and didn't have to pay but $12,000 or $13,000. That's a good deal with the IRS. They're not doing anything there. They're probably glad to get what they can get, but God is different. God is saying, listen, all of it's mine. But I just ask 10% of it and give you the 90%. And use that the way you want to, but if you give a free will offer, the 90%, I'll bless that too. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is not trying to trick us. It's the best thing for us to see. I'm so grateful that I understand. God uses these things, the motives in life. I found out that you won't change what you tolerate. Somebody says, well, I don't like that. I got to tolerate. No, if you tolerate anything that's wrong, you won't change. Eventually, toleration gets us because we're creatures of gradualism. We have to take our stand on that which is right and wrong. I found out that what you respect will also attract. This is not mine. I got this from someone else back a few months ago. I saw this. Love is to attract, and God attracts us through love. But once we experience the love in a way that He's presented His love to us, He saved us, then the world gets upset because they think that's something God's forcing on them. If they only could see that if God would force it, what a blessing that would be. Heaven's a blessing, folks, if it be forced. God's not going to force heaven on people, though. And respect is to find its value. And I thought, thoughts become words that repel or attract us in this life. And then I found out you cannot learn from someone who resents or despises you. And you can't teach anyone that you resent or despise. And then Matthew 7:12, he said, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Going to God for what we do daily creates your success or failure in life. And little things, you can't remember this book. That's the reason you read. You do daily Bible reading, and you have your devotions. You read, and all of a sudden you read something 25 times, you read over, and all of a sudden it comes out. Well, that's what these little documentations do. That's what I saw, I write it down. Go back and read those things and just understand, when I read this, what happened? Then suddenly Scripture comes to fill in the blanks there to help us grow, because it's something you didn't forget, whereas here's something you might have forgot when you read it at the time. And so going to God's Word on a daily basis creates a success or failure in life. When we go to God's Word daily, that can create success or failure. Success if we obey, failure if we do not. And then I close with this thought, and this is what I prayed as I worked this afternoon on this a little bit to put this together. I pray that God, let me be remembered for solving problems, not creating them. I think that's a good philosophy of life. God, help me be remembered in life. That old Ennis had a lot of things, but he wanted to solve problems. He didn't want to create them. And I want to tell you, the greatest prophet sovereign in the world is Jesus Christ, who paid the sin debt. Someone listening tonight, a shoestring, or I know an auditorium, is not saved. Greatest gift God gave to this world is when his son paid the sin debt for you and I, that we might live with him forever. And I've got news for you before I pray. Over there, not going to be like it is here. Amen. Now, we can have a taste of it here. And I'll tell you, to be saved is heaven on earth until we get to heaven. But over there is not going to be like it is here. Our Father, we thank you again for the precious Word of God. Thank you for the gift of these come tonight. I pray the time's not been wasted. It's been scattered, Lord. It's like a gun shooting a scattered gun. But they're golden nuggets in turn that can help us if we think. And I don't mean that others should pattern me, because I'm not saying that. I'm saying they could pattern their own self. Write down when they study God's Word, those little phrases, those little nuggets that really catches their attention, and have it in a book where they can go back and just sit down and read them. And every time I go back and begin to read some of these things, God keeps adding to my mind scriptures I've learned since then, or maybe didn't see before, knew, but then. And God adds scriptures, and the scriptures become the basis for what we believe, because it's the absolute Word of God. Thank you for that tonight. Bless our people this week as they go their separate ways. Lord, and let this book become our daily diet for the new creation in Christ. Help us look forward to the eastern sky. Know that the Lord's going to come back one day, each day. If it be today, help us be doing something in our daily task that would honor you as we serve you in any capacity. God, enlighten us. And let us realize, Lord, sometimes we feel we're not capable. None of us are. Lord, you are so much beyond us, we're not capable. But I thank you, God, somehow or another, you saw that you're going to use the talent you give us, and you're going to give the availability to us, if we're willing, that you would use us for your glory. With all the problems we have, the resistance of this world we have, Lord, we're not the first one. There's people who still today are giving their life for Christ in many places. They die simply because they refuse to recant their faith on the face of the earth in 2017, not 2,000 years ago. And we thank you for that. Lord, they got more than average person has, because you are real. And Jesus Christ is the one who took place in our heart by his Spirit to help us in these last days, until you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.